Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday, the 15th of July, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's social enterprise and business programme, Business Live. Broadcasting as ever, live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. This programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. Talking about podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Michael Thompson and Joe Gown from Right Tracks, a creative social enterprise and platform for underground artists, and Peter Wright, a solicitor and managing director of Digital Law UK. You can, of course, find that in the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. Coming up on today's programme, we're joined in the studio by Jill White of Andy Hanselman Consulting. Jill, of course, also is known as the fairy godmother, working with young entrepreneurs throughout the city. She works with the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy and with Sheffield Hallam University, and she'll be introducing Cosmos Eleferiou, who'll be talking about his new business idea. So we're looking forward to hearing from Jill and Cosmos. We're also going to be joined in the studio today by Mark Story. He's the chief executive of Sheffield Church's Council for Community Care, celebrating a milestone anniversary, and he'll be talking about the work that they do. But before we turn to our guests of today, a quick update of what's going on in business and social enterprise. And of course, it's all change at government level with new ministerial appointments made. Also yesterday, the Governor of the Bank of England announced the latest decision of the Interest Rates Committee, and they chose to keep interest rates at exactly the same rate. As ever, we'll be updating you as and when we hear more with regarding the new government and their policies and priorities for business, for industry and for social enterprise. Meanwhile, UK business output and optimism has been reduced to three-year lows, according to a new report by accountancy and services group BDO. Their report said the UK economy was showing signs of slowing and that manufacturing in particular had the gloomiest outlook. And they said that job creation had slowed to a two-year low. They said that Brexit and economic uncertainty attached to it has disrupted investment in the economy, and that business output slipped to 99 in June compared with 99.7 in May and 100.6 in April. They also found that business optimism had slid, falling to 98.9 in June from 99.4 in May. BDO's Peter Hemington, though, said that businesses can't afford to get caught up in hysteria. They need to hold their nerve and continue to invest in the UK. Meanwhile, Sheffield's Parker Bestable has been contracted for a major marine valve order with South Korea. Parker Bestable Marine supplies cryogenic valves. It's received an order from Daewoo Shipbuilding and Marine Engineering in South Korea to supply its valves for the next three LNG carriers being built on behalf of a Canadian company, TK. Yorkshire has been invited to bid for its share of a dedicated £150,000 fund for the food and tourism community. The new grant has been set up by DEFRA's Great British Food Unit, and it will allow local partnerships, these could include community groups, trade bodies and national parks, to group together and bid for up to £25,000. It's then going to be used to promote regional food and drink, to grow Yorkshire businesses and potentially to create more jobs. And according to Visit Britain, food is a major factor in deciding where to visit for many, many visitors. And the importance of food and drink in attracting tourists who spend a fortune in Yorkshire. Tourism in the county of Yorkshire contributed £3 billion to the overall £59 billion generated by the tourism sector as a whole last year. And a new report called Rural Tourism and Local Food and Drink has revealed that an attractive food and drink offer extends the tourist season as well. The Year of Making Sheffield is, of course, underway. And Year of Making posted for commissions in June, inviting proposals from the creative sector, from arts and cultural organisations. If you think you'd like to get involved, you can find out more at sheffieldcityofmakers.co.uk. And in Sheffield, the first custom-built steel foundry to be commissioned in the UK since the early 1980s has been unveiled. That's been unveiled at AMRC Castings, part of the University of Sheffield's Advanced Manufacturing Research Centre with Boeing. The facility consists of inductotherm air melting induction furnaces with a capacity of 2.8 tonnes that they can melt, able to produce steel cast parts with a finished weight of up to 1,300 kilograms. There's been a £600,000 investment into the foundry by the AMRC, which will allow the AMRC Castings Group to conduct innovative research and product development projects in collaboration with industrial partners and for the benefit of industry sectors. The organisation develops new technologies and it also provides design and manufacturing consultancy services for aerospace and for other high-value manufacturing sectors. The latest ONS labour market statistics are out, published by the Office for National Statistics, the ONS. They showed a 55,000 rise in employment in the 3 months to April 2016. 31.6 million people in work, 55,000 more than for the 3 months to January 2016, and 461,000 more than for a year earlier, according to the figures. And it's a positive forecast for Sheffield City Region's business economy, according to the Sheffield City Region Quarterly Economic Survey, which is a private sector business survey based on around 400 responses from firms across the region. The survey suggests that regional economic growth was generally positive in the second quarter of 2016. The survey is run by the Sheffield City Region Local Enterprise Partnership, four Chambers of Commerce and the Sheffield University Management School, sponsored by RBS South Yorkshire. And it gives an idea of how the regional economy performed in the second quarter of 2016. Now, highlights from the survey include that manufacturing firms reported improved export sales and an increase in advance orders. And the service sector saw a slight decrease in domestic and overseas sales, but an increase in cash flow. Both service and manufacturing sectors report that they undertook recruitment efforts over the last quarter, with a slight rise in recruitment in the manufacturing sector. Now you'll note then that this is in contrast to the figures that we talked about at the start of the show in terms of business output and optimism on a UK-wide level in the new report by Accountancy and Services Group BDO. So it seems that the outlook is perhaps more positive for Sheffield City Region. Good news there. Some forthcoming events. Coming up on Monday, it's Tech North's Sheffield Summit and Social. That's taking place Monday, the 18th of July, 5pm until 9pm at the showroom workstation. It's a free event. Tech North team want to invite people to come along. They want to make some announcements about the vision and the future of Tech North. They're kicking off with an opening talk from their new director, Richard Gregory, and then giving some programme updates. Also, of course, an opportunity to meet other people in the Northern Tech community. Now, you can find out more about that at the website Fatsoma, which is fatsoma.com. If you then look up We Are Tech North, then you should be able to find details and register your place. It's free to go along to that event, but you do have to register. Also coming up next Thursday, the 21st of July, it's a July Third Sector Cafe. And the discussion topic is what charities can learn from businesses about how to profit from sales, how to generate revenue and income from sales. So if you're working in the non-for-profit sector, looking for ways you can increase income from selling goods and services, the Third Sector Cafe is for you. It's all about raising income through trading and selling services and products. And one of the speakers, well, the keynote speaker this July, is Andy Hanselman, well-known Sheffield-based consultant. Andy, of course, has been on this programme two or three times in the past, and he's recently been working with managers at the Burton Street Foundation. So, the Third Sector Cafe. Now, how do you find that? Well, Third Sector Cafe Sheffield has a website. Google Third Sector Cafe Sheffield, and you will be able to find that and book your place. Next Thursday also, in the evening though, it's the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network's Summer Party. It's at Fusion Cafe on Arundel Street. It's from 5pm till 8pm. And they'll be also announcing the launch of their new grant programme, with three levels of grant awards, £1,000, £5,000 and £10,000 up for grabs. Details of how you can apply for those are going to be unveiled at the event. So, want to find out more? You need to go to the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network's website. You can sign up to become a member of the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network as well, and take a look there. Their website is ssen.org.uk, or of course you can find Sheffield Social Enterprise Network on Twitter as well. So, quick reminder for listeners, if there's something you think that we should be talking about on this programme, a topic you'd like us to address, someone you want to put forward as a guest, then you can get in touch. All you need to do is email jamie at sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200, find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. You can find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Because whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed, whether you're an employer, we're always keen to hear from you. Time now to turn to our first guests of today. And I'm delighted to have in the studio Jill White. And joined by Jill, we have Cosmos Eleferiou. Jill, Cosmos, good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Very welcome.
So, Jill, you're a wearer of many hats.
Which one shall I wear today?
Of course, a partner in Andy Hanselman Consulting.
Yeah.
And you are an enterprise mentor at Sheffield mm-hmm. Hallam University, in the
yes.
enterprise team there. And you've been doing some work with the college and with the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy as well.
Yeah. How does she fit it all in?
How indeed.
yeah, absolutely. I love it. The day job is working with businesses, helping them to grow and expand, and as you say, working with Andy. But my passion for a long, long time has been helping to work with emerging and early entrepreneurs. I've been very fortunate to work with Sheffield Hallam for a long, long time. And also the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy now at Sheffield College.
Yes.
And it is just so uplifting to see some of these young people and their business ideas. And what I do is I try and get more businesses to work alongside the college, and I think it's important and interesting in that opening that you sort of talked about. You mentioned Parker. Marie Cooper from Parker has been into the college and spoke to the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy. We did a mock, they did a pitching session. Marie was on the panel there. The food and drink, my ears pricked up at that. We had Yi Kwan, who also has worked in the college. So I gather people, I gather businesses to actually go in and support, because I think it's really important that they're in touch with existing businesses and that they help and support the new and emerging businesses coming through, because it's exciting.
It is exciting, absolutely. And it's also about enabling innovation.
Absolutely.
It's a two-way process as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the people who go in, and people are very busy, and I understand that they're very busy running their own businesses. So when they go in, they actually say, oh gosh, I haven't got the time to do it. But almost every time when they come out, they say, gosh, I got something out of that. And I think we oldies have got a lot to learn from the younger businesses coming through. And they've got fresh thinking, they've got new ideas, they're up to date with all the innovation and social ideas. And it's very interesting to hear that youth input and that youth view.
Most definitely, absolutely. Mm. And obviously a huge passion of yours, as we know, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And I was very privileged. The Sheffield College, there are, I don't know, maybe 20 colleges across the UK, I don't know exactly, that are involved with Peter Jones and the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy. And that gives it a real uplift. And I was very fortunate a couple of weeks ago to go down to London.
Yes, so you were in London last Monday.
Yeah, it was a couple of Mondays ago. Yeah, and we went down and it was the graduation. And it was fantastic that Sheffield College actually had two of their students nominated for national awards. So it was brilliant that, we've got Sheffield on the map. It's fantastic.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Delighted that we had one of the winners and he's alongside us today. So, and the whole thing, to see a room full of young people, very optimistic, interesting what you were saying about, the view and the what's happening in the future. The future's safe. I came away from that thinking, gosh, we've got these young, fresh thinking, bright ideas moving forward. And it was a real privilege to be there. I felt very special to be there. And there are some perks to this job.
Absolutely. So first of all, then, congratulations to Cosmos for this recognition and award. Absolutely tremendous news. What was it? And you might be too shy and modest to answer this. So I'll ask Jill first. What do you think, Jill, the judges noticed about Cosmos and his idea that made them think, yes, he's deserving of a national award?
Well, there were various categories. Yeah. The one that Cosmos was about his performance over the year, really, so there's varying degrees of sophistication. For some, it was about the business idea. So yes, Sheffield did have a nominee in the best business idea, and there were just six in the UK. So again, brilliant to be a part of that. But Cosmos was about his performance and how just very hard he'd worked and his excellent performance over the year, and he'll perhaps be able to tell you a little bit more than that. Have I done you justice?
Yes, superb. So Cosmos, tell us more then about how you've had the support from the Enterprise Academy, from the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy, and from Jill, and about your business idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Jill's helped throughout the year, helping us connect to businesses. We've had was it Business Cafe over over in town, and she helped. She had different small businesses come in, and we talked to them, and they helped us think what next path is the right way to go. So I think what helped me about with my business, I spoke to people within my set industry of my food industry.
Yes,
for Unicomb, and they gave me kind of a pathway to lead on to and make sure I don't go along the alleys, say, if you want to go like that.
Yes, so having access to industry experts and to people in the industry who've been there, done that, has been helpful in terms of choosing the path of the business.
Yeah.
So food industry business, Unico, now you're sort of pre-start, aren't you?
It's in development now.
Yeah, in development. So it might be quite limited in terms of what you're able to tell us about it, but tell us as much as you can.
Well, it's to do... Unicone is to do food in dessert industry.
Yeah.
So it's a twist on the words of unique and cones.
Yeah.
So
Great. And dessert industry, so
yeah.
So big appetite for that. Yeah. Boom boom. And are you going to be a manufacturer or distributor or?
I'll be making the product myself, yes. Yeah. And then I think I'll be selling. I can be a little bit laid back on if I could sell to business to other businesses, so supermarkets or cafes or restaurants, or I could sell directly to the public.
So you might have a model that trades both business to business and business with consumer. Indeed.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Good. And what are your thoughts with regard to launch date and going public? Is there a time scale?
I think I'm playing by the ear.
Yeah.
With how I think if I need to actually get a feel for how well my business can do.
So you're in a process of continued research at the moment.
And actually, I think I'm only more years because Cosmos has done the foundation really, and then you're going on how many?
It's another 2 years.
Another 2 years. So that 2 years will be a time of continued help, support, and learning.
Brilliant to have access to that, then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
And how did it feel to be in London, surrounded by your peers and experts, including Jill and others from all over the country?
It was a great experience. I got to meet Peter Jones himself and the Duke of York.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience. You saw other people, for example, with the six nominations for the National Entrepreneur of the Year. You saw their businesses, you saw their pitch, and you got to get ideas. And I think I learned a lot from their experience throughout their course, their years. And I think I can try and develop that into my 2 years in the future.
That's been pretty valuable in terms of hearing their experiences, the challenges they've faced, how they've done it, and being able to plug in that learning.
Yeah, it was different.
Yes.
It's different from what I've done in my life, definitely.
Mm. And did you always want to start up your own business?
No, I didn't, actually. Before I wanted to go on this course, I actually wanted to do catering.
Mm.
I wanted to, run a restaurant, really. So it's kind of always to do business, but always to be a chef instead of a entrepreneur.
And then, but it's a natural continuation then of a clear interest in terms of creating a business in the food industry then.
Yeah, it is.
And of course, here in Sheffield, we've had some plenty of interesting food and drink startups in the city, in a whole range of products as well. And Jill, of course, has been plugged into to many of these too.
Yeah, I mean, when we're chatting here and when I'm hearing more, I'm immediately thinking, oh, you need to talk to, and I need to put you in touch with. And when you gave the announcement about the food and drink, I was nudging Cozzy saying, hey, we need to get into that one, you know, what do we need to do? So I think that's really useful, being able to access different people. So, and that's really what we want in the college. We want more people to come in and share their entrepreneurial journey, enable these people to access help and support, and just all work with each other. And it's very encouraging when Cosmos says, oh, it was great to see the video, because that's what I try to do, is encourage the young people to network with each other. But then I have the pleasure of having the Sheffield Hallam connection, so we've got other young people, so that they can learn from people at different stages of their business journey.
Most definitely. Well, that's the thing, having access to someone like Jill, who's plugged into a whole variety of networks as well, must be beneficial, as well as the sort of skills-based learning that you have access to, too, from her.
And the placement.
My work placement, we had to do 2 weeks in a business. You could either go to meet Jill and she'll help you, or...
He was too good, he found his own.
Did you? Did you go?
I went to Kia Triangle in Chesterfield.
Yes.
And they gave me the support. They did different activities with me. I was in meetings with them. I helped do spreadsheets. Yeah. And they kind of gave me an insight of... Even though it's Kia, you think, oh, it's a really big company. But for what their location is, you wouldn't think, oh, this doesn't look like this should be here. You know, it should be a massive showroom. Where really, it's I think it's the smallest showroom in Chesterfield,
mm-hmm.
and some showrooms in Chesterfield are quite small.
Yeah. So, but that must have been a fascinating experience.
It was. All the people there supporting me throughout the whole year.
So we're going to have to get you back on the programme over the next couple of years as things develop, to hear more about the business. And
I'm sure you will.
We'd love to hear more as you develop and as you launch. So do come back on. Jill, of course, you'll be on again, I'm sure, as well.
Well, maybe. Got a few ideas.
Indeed. But I suppose if there are young people listening who are looking at college applications at the moment, then one thing that that is very well worth knowing about is Sheffield College's work with
Huge.
Peter Jones Enterprise Academy.
I mean, there's a massive range of programmes and courses on offer. But this Peter Jones Enterprise, I mean, there's a lot of enterprise work that the college does. And by all means, you know, it's on their website. Go and have a little look at it, yes.
Great stuff.
And you'll meet fabulous people like Cosmos and all the team there. So there's quite a lot of places.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the programme today. And we will, of course, follow this story through. Cosmos Eleferiou, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Jill White. We'll play a track of music that is a track that Cosmos has chosen. It's the Arctic Monkeys. And it is Do I Want to Know?
We're open for business live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. My name's Jamie Veitch, and on the programme this morning, we've heard from Jill White of Andy Hanselman Consulting. She also works for Sheffield College, Peter Jones Enterprise Academy, and is an enterprise mentor at Sheffield Hallam University. And Jill also brought with her client, Cosmos Eleferiou, a young man who's launching a business in the food and drink industry. Now, if you've just tuned in and you've missed that, don't panic, because the podcast of the programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. at sheffieldlive.org. Go to radio shows, click on Business Live, and you'll be able to find today's programme. If you missed last week's programme, which discussed legal implications around Brexit with Peter Wright, MD of Digital Law UK. And we also featured a creative social enterprise and platform for underground music, Right Tracks, with two guests from Right Tracks, Joe Gowan and Michael Thompson. You can listen to the podcast of that too. Now, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio now by our next guest, Mark Story. Mark is a Chief Executive Officer of Sheffield Church's Council for Community Care. A local charity coordinates a range of integrated services which help and give older people a helping hand when they need it most. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
You're more than welcome.
So I've given a very brief, a very tiny description of what Sheffield Church's Council for Community Care does. Tell us more, though.
You've just stolen my elevator pitch.
I know, I'm sorry.
Sheffield Church's Council for Community Care is a bit of a mouthful. And we are known locally as S&4Cs.
Yes, indeed.
So if people don't know us by the longer name, then S&4Cs will ring some bells. Yeah, we, as you said, we provide a helping hand to older people when they need it most. We have a few services where we do, I suppose, whatever a good neighbour would do. We do friendly visiting. So we undertake friendly visiting with volunteers primarily. And recently we've done a VIP friendly visiting scheme. We've had people like Louise Haig MP, Nick Clegg, the Bishop of Sheffield, Bishop of Hallam, and more recently, Mike Tuck of Sheffield Sharks fame.
Indeed, Mike is the captain of Sheffield Sharks, and he's also involved with the Wasco Brown Foundation as well.
He is, and that's where we met him.
Yeah,
you know, because we are one of the WB100.
Yes,
one of the charities supported by the Wasco Brown Foundation. And having met Mike and seen his stature, which is, I was going to say slightly similar to mine.
Yes, yes.
In height, maybe, but yeah, he we sort of hit it off. And the first thing I asked him to do was, as a sportsman, do a friendly visit and visit a 90-year-old gentleman who was suffering loneliness and isolation.
And how did that go?
It went absolutely fantastic. Yeah, the member of staff that went along with Mike actually said it's the best day of work he's ever had since he's worked for the organisation.
Good grief. And the 90-year-old who was visited, did he enjoy the visit?
He did. He was in awe, I think, of Mike's height.
Yeah.
But once Mike had sat down and spoke to him, and he actually took a basketball and did a few tricks with his basketball. And the photos which have been released today show the surprise and, you know, I think a picture paints 1,000 words and there's more than 1,000 words painted in that picture.
Indeed. Lovely. So S and 4Cs is also has strong links with not only with the community, but also with partnerships with the council and the NHS.
Yes, that's right.
So how do those work?
We, in terms of the services we provide, it's not just the friendly visiting, the combating isolation and loneliness. We also deliver hospital-related equipment to, I suppose, speed up the discharge. So when somebody's been in hospital, they're ready for a discharge. Rather than keeping them in a few days longer, you know, they recover quickly at home, get them out into the homes, but we will take out the much needed equipment such as raised toilet seats, commodes. We do pressure related equipment now, so if somebody's immobile, then to put out a pressure mattress or a pressure cushion, that enables them to I suppose it reduces the risk of pressure sores.
I see, great. And we hear quite a bit about how an ageing population increases pressure on the NHS. Does that also lead to increased isolation? I mean, are there measures by which you can measure how isolated people are? It's something difficult to sort of count, isn't it?
It is, and there are measures. There's, you know, many schemes out there which are aimed at combating loneliness. Age UK do a lot of work. There's a few other organisations. We tend to look at the more holistic picture, I think it's fair to say. And, you know, do they have family members? So when we get a referral in, if it's for the friendly visiting or the good neighbour scheme, as we call it, we'd look at the family relationships that they have. We'd look at whether or not they are mobile, whether or not they've got long-standing medical issues. And then we try and match a volunteer to that individual. Now, you know, there is growing demand. And I read an annual report. We've been going since 1966.
Yes, and we want to come on to this sort of anniversary in a moment.
Yeah, of course. Well, I read a report from 1979 last week. And it said that there were 29,000 older people aged over 60 in Sheffield. By 1986, that was estimated to rise to 34,000.
Yep.
And in 2016, it's 92,500 or thereabouts.
So in 1979, it was 29,000.
Yes.
In 2016, it's risen to
92,500.
So now, it's tripled in that time.
Yeah, definitely. The message was the same when I read the report. It was saying about people living longer without necessarily being able to look after themselves, and that there was more demand for residential care places.
Yes.
and the message is still the same. There were also government cuts to local authority budgets.
Indeed.
And it's something we're going through at the moment as well.
Yes, and have gone through in terms of public sector cuts and cuts to budgets. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely. Now, so as a charity, your funding to provide the services you do comes from a number of routes.
It does.
Comes from partnerships and contracts and other routes. Well, tell us more actually about how it works, how you secure the funding to do what you do.
Certainly, we have a contract with Sheffield City Council to provide services, yeah, and that's for the Good Neighbour Scheme, it's for the Hospital Aftercare Scheme, and the Accident and Emergency to Home Scheme.
Right.
Which is where we would meet an older person who's ready for discharge from A&E.
Yes.
We'd get the call off the A&E department, we'd take the person home, settle them in, make sure they're okay before we leave them. And it's one of the, I suppose, services that a good neighbour would provide.
Yes, indeed.
We also get a small amount of funding from churches.
Mm.
And there are many individuals that do donate. We get small amounts of legacy funding.
Yes, yeah.
And we generally, the people that donate as individuals are people that know about us, people that have worked with us, either from the hospitals or from the council, and they know about the work that we do. So we had a lady that ran the London Marathon for us. We've got somebody who, unbeknown to myself, I can't understand the reason why, but they're doing a wing walk.
Ah, yes, indeed.
It's not something that I'd do. but, you know, Jamie, if you want to accept the challenge of a wing walk as well, then that's always open to you.
Thank you, Mark. That's very kind of you to offer. So when's she doing the wing walk?
It's in August. I think it's August the 13th. Yeah. And it's not a Friday.
And she's raising sponsorship money.
She is. Yeah. She is, yeah. I think she's raised over £500 at this moment in time.
Yeah. So you have a mixture of individual donations, individuals running their own fundraising events, some legacy funding.
Yes.
Some contributions and support from churches, but the contracts, of course, are absolutely vital.
Yes.
And in terms of the security for the organisation, the contracts that you enter into, and you know, there'll be a limited amount that you might be able to say, but are the contracts that you enter into, are they annual contracts, 3-year contracts, 5-year contracts? How much security do you have?
Generally, they are annual contracts.
Yeah. So you then have to spend a considerable amount of time each year working on bidding and renewal of contracts, presumably.
Yeah, we do look at each contract and see when it's coming to an end and plan for that. And we are always looking at our future sustainability. Because a lot of people don't realise that, you know, they look at a charity and think it's a charity. Well, in essence, a charity is also a business.
Hmm.
And unless it continues to move forward, it will stagnate.
Yeah.
So we're always looking at new ways to make ourselves sustainable and not put all our eggs in one basket.
Do you think you've got that right? Is it well balanced in terms of security of income and not having things in one basket? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Not at this moment. It's something we're moving towards. And we just recruited our first fundraiser.
Yes.
So we're looking at Erica, who's taken up post, doing more things with individuals and the wider community, so that, you know, there's community based events,
yes,
like the SM4C afternoon tea, tick the box before you kick the box. She's come up with quite a number of innovative ideas.
Great.
And we're looking forward to seeing them progress. But it's not just about the finance as well, and there is support that we do get off business people.
Yes.
And the business community. And I suppose that's started to come in since joining the Wasco Brown Foundation.
Right, yeah.
Because we are now networking more.
Well, of course, I've bumped into you at a Wasco Brown Foundation event, as I've mentioned. These events on air and have been along to them myself. You've been along to a couple of these events I've seen you at. And those events are about business leaders, charity leaders, social enterprise leaders meeting each other and helping each other out. And it's not actually just about the businesses helping the charities, is it?
That's right.
It's also a learning process. And often the charities and the social enterprises have something that they can offer to businesses. So you've been at the event, you've met a lot of people, and this is all about developing business relationships and helping to get further business support for S&4Cs.
Yes.
So this is, I suppose, early stages, but of that process. How's it going, though?
It's going very well. We are attending the Wasco Brown Enterprising Partners networking sessions. We're also looking at getting onto the Wasco Brown events where they provide the, I suppose, intensive marketing support or the different types of support that's available. We've also linked in with a few other businesses, including Big Yellow,
yes,
who offer us storage, because we've got a project where we loan out chairs, high seat chairs, for people recovering from hip and knee surgery. But we also loan out end-of-life chairs, and they're the big electric recliners. Now, I've got two of these currently in storage, not being used because they've got the wrong covering on them. And to recover them costs £490 each. Well, when you're a small charity and working with tight budgets, £490 is a lot.
Yes.
I know that once those chairs get recovered, there's going to be so much demand for them. Because they will only be used for 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll need to take them back. We'll need to wipe them down, get them all cleaned up, ready to put out to the next patient that needs one.
Yes, quite.
We've also worked with Russell Richardson,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
who have done some shredding for us.
Yeah,
and you know, again, that would have been a cost to us, which is better spent on providing things like the chairs. And being able to do that type of service rather than, you know,
so if a business can provide you with services,
yes,
that's relevant and necessary for you in terms of operation, or that's really, really helpful. And you've mentioned Big Yellow self storage there. You've mentioned Russell Richardson, the shredding business. Are there any business sectors or specific business needs where you think, oh, if there's a business that could help us with X, Y, or Z, then we'd love to work with them?
Of course. There's always IT. IT, yeah, is a massive problem. And whilst, as a charity, we can access various things, including Google grants, mm, you know, we've got something like £6,000 worth of Google AdWords to spend a month, but we just don't know where to start with something like that.
So you've actually got the AdWords budget,
yes,
but you need someone who's a sort of pay-per-click expert who,
yes,
could help you,
yeah,
help you use it.
Definitely.
So there's a call out there.
there's various other things. You know, we don't operate a server. You know, we've not really got a CRM system, which is modern. we're still working off Excel.
Yes.
And whilst Excel is good, it doesn't perhaps streamline the business process. And once we streamline the business process, then we can do more for the people that need our support.
Indeed. And the difference between a well-organized CRM and an Excel spreadsheet in terms of managing your data is going to be phenomenal.
That's so, right, yes. Yeah.
Quite. So there's a bit of a call out there, Mark, and businesses listening to this programme that might be able to help could get in touch with you. And we'll
yes,
give a route for them to do that in just a moment or two. But you mentioned that S&4Cs was founded in 1966.
That's
so
right.
50th anniversary.
Yeah,
congratulations.
It's a massive milestone. Thank you.
And
I wasn't there.
No. He quickly adds. but a real milestone. Well done. And obviously well done for everyone involved in the history of the organisation, on a voluntary level and staff and supporters and so on. What have been the achievements of S&4Cs that you're perhaps most proud that the organisation has achieved in 50 years?
Yeah, I think if I was to look at it, you know, and give some real thought to this, then we started off just doing the Good Neighbour Scheme,
yeah,
and that would have been the friendly visiting. And to have the organisation grow to the level it is now, where it's delivering a lot more services, you know, it's not just about the putting the volunteer in to support somebody who's lonely. It's about linking those services up so that perhaps when they do get discharged from hospital and we take a piece of equipment out, we've then got a link where we can start to recognise whether that person is at risk of being isolated and lonely.
Yeah.
And we can start to put things in place which can address that. Now, we started doing the equipment and as I understand, when we did the equipment, it was a one-off request, and the coordinator at the time agreed that that would happen, but the Board of Trustees weren't particularly interested, and I think there was a strong fight against it. Now, they eventually agreed that that would be the way forward, and from that one piece of equipment, we suddenly, in 2016... taking 3,600 referrals for hospital aftercare.
So
that's in a 17% increase on last year. We've also done about 2,000 friendly visits last year, so there's over 5,500 jobs that we do per year.
So something to be proud of, indeed.
Yes, definitely.
And what have been the biggest challenges, whether that's the challenges that you've had to overcome yourself in steering the organisation as chief executive, or whether they are the biggest challenges that the organisation has faced in its history? What do you think they are?
I think the biggest challenge, there's a couple really. The biggest challenge for the organisation is meeting demand.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm, you know, the way we're doing that is by growing the organisation, by investing in staff, particularly the fundraiser, and by focusing on what we're good at. So we don't really get drawn into things that aren't relevant to us. And obviously, as a charity, we've also got to be aware of our charitable objects.
Indeed.
And not stepping outside of those objects.
Indeed.
So where it doesn't fit our remit, then we'll signpost it on. Or we'll make referrals.
So you are very aware of that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. On a personal note, I think the biggest challenge is learning to relax and let go.
Yes.
Because...
And yeah, how do you do that?
It's a good question. I'm still trying to achieve that. I think having only taken over in September last year, there was a lot of work that I wanted to get done. And, you know, with a laptop, the laptop can go anywhere, so it tends to go home with you and you continue working. What I've started to do is leave the laptop,
mm-hmm,
and recognise that piece of work that I've been working on that particular day doesn't need to be done and finalised on that particular day. It can be carried over to the next day.
So it's work-life balance, which is something that people listen to this programme, whether they're a charity chief executive like you, Mark, or whether they're running a social enterprise or a business, will be very familiar with,
yes,
this kind of pressure. Yep. Okay, well, Mark Storey, chief executive of S&4Cs, Sheffield Church's Council for Community Care in full. Website, sccc.co.uk. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mark.
You're more than welcome, and thank you, Jamie.
And people can, of course, get in contact with you, businesses in particular that have heard your call out for support, but people can find out more on the website.
Of course.
Best way to contact you, take a look at the website and then go through there?
Yeah, I think the telephone number is on there, yeah, and the email is on there as well.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. And so that's S and four C's, scccc.co.uk.
We have moved into the 21st century as well, Jamie, and we do have Facebook and Twitter now, which Excellent. Is amazing.
Superb. Mark Story, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. My name's Jamie Veitch. On the show today, we've been hearing from Mark Story, Chief Executive of charity S&4Cs, talking about the work that they do to coordinate integrated services, support isolated older people and help people when they need it most. We've also heard on the show today from Jill White of Andy Hanselman Consulting and of the Sheffield College and the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy, and of course from client Cosmos Eleferiou. Now, if you've only just joined in, then you can catch up with today's programme on the podcast. We'll be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. sheffieldlive.org. Go to radio shows, look up Business Live, and you'll be able to find it there. A quick heads up for some forthcoming events. Coming up next Thursday, Sheffield Social Enterprise Network are launching their new grant programme, open to all members of the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, and showcasing the journey of several local social enterprises too. That's a free summer party at the Fusion Cafe on Arundel Street to mark the launch of the SSEN grant programme. And you can find out more via Eventbrite. Look up Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, 21st July. Similarly, look up Thursday, 21st July, Third Sector Cafe on Eventbrite to find out details of how to register for the July Third Sector Cafe, where charities can learn more about raising income through trading and selling services and products at the July Third Sector Cafe. And the Tech North are running their Sheffield Summit and Social next Monday, the 18th of July, at the showroom workstation. Look that up on fatsoma.com and look up Tech North Sheffield Summit. Also worth mentioning, Business Sheffield have a huge range of free events for people starting and growing businesses, detailed on their website. So you can find out more there. Now, this programme will be back on air next Friday, 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m, so tune in then. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That's going to be on from 10 all the way through to noon, so tune in for that. In the studio today with us, a sound engineer, has been Paul Gregory. My thanks to Paul, and my thanks to all our guests today and to you for listening. We'll play out with Heather Small, and the track is Proud, chosen by our guest Mark Story. We'll be back on air next week.